Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 16th of April, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, TGIF.
Well, TGISF, I guess, because as you may have noticed, I have Andrew with me today, and it's Friday. That means it is Security Friday. Sadly, this is not the bedtime story edition. We still have some stuff that might freak you out, but we're only telling you so that you know. So let's go ahead and get started. We have a little bit of old business. We're going to revisit a couple of things that we've talked about previously because we have new information about them. And one of those is the SolarWinds attack.
Yes. I don't remember when this happened, but there was this attack, cyber attack. You've seen it all in the news probably, and it was called SolarWinds. And hackers had like taken advantage of this enterprise software called the Orion platform from the SolarWinds company. And because it was enterprise software, they were like leasing or selling to other companies. This bug, this attack affected thousands and thousands of companies, as well as some government agencies. Like, as I mentioned in this article, a couple of agencies that were affected were the Departments of Treasury and Commerce. So not good.
Nothing important. Nothing we actually have to worry about, right?
Right. So I think it was back in January, I forget the acronym or what it stands for, but the acronym is CISA, Cybersecurity Institution something in the U.S. And they had released a statement saying they think it was Russia that was behind this attack. And now months later, it sounds like they're more certain it was. So the U.S. has formally accused the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service, otherwise known in the security world as APT-29 or Cozy Bear, to be the one behind this attack. I guess so basically backing up, President Biden released an executive order to put some sanctions against Russia for not only the SolarWinds attack, but also election interference.
Yeah.
So it was Cozy Bear, and his order also mentioned six other companies that were involved as well.
Yeah. I think the word we're looking for here is cahoots. They were all in cahoots. Sorry to be technical, everybody. But I think I think that's what it is. There was a number of groups that they thought were sort of teaming up for that. So not the kind of crossover event we were hoping for, honestly. But here we are. So the other thing we have to talk about that's sort of old business is something called UID2.
Yes, the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, wrote a post about this new technology that was being proposed as an update to the older unified ID, which just involves, you know, it's something used to track people. So this new version that has been going around called UID2, it sounds like it's scarier than the first version. So the quote that I shared... in this link teaser is, well, first, where'd that go? In the original article. So it says, in contrast, UID2 is supposed to make it easier for trackers to identify people. So it doubles down on the track profile target business model. And then in the quote that I shared, UID2s will be connected to people instead of devices. That means an advertiser who collects a ID2 from a website can link it to the other IDs that collects through other things like apps, smart TVs, even connected vehicles. And that's where the unified part of that comes in. It's supposed to make cross-device tracking as easy as cross-site tracking used to be. And it sounds like a lot of this will be done, this identification and tracking will be done via email.
Fabulous.
And so that's what I said in my teaser. All the more reason to use services like Sign In with Apple whenever you can. Mm-hmm. And this other email service app that I had talked about before on Security Friday is called Simple Login. And that lets you create a large number of email aliases. Yeah. And those can be, you know, created and deleted as you want.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see where this is. And as you said, the EFF wrote about it initially. And generally, that's a group that you want to pay attention to. Because yeah. if there's something that they're sort of against and they're like, this is terrible and this is a thing that's freaking us out, it's a thing you should be freaked out about, because they tend to be very long-term vision on a lot of things. And so what they're looking for is the fallout of this way down the line from different things. So like right now in the short term, this thing that you're doing might sound really good. Like, I think it's fun to go check in at places and say, look, I'm here and I'm the mayor of it because I check in here the most or whatever. And the EFF looks at something like that and goes, you should have never signed up for the service. Do you understand like what this means, you know, 2 years from now or whatever? And, you know, and at that point, you know, it's terrible. And so that's the part that's kind of that's the thing about the EFF, is if it's something that is worrying them in this kind of fashion, it's definitely a thing that you should at least be concerned about. So I'm glad, again, they're bringing it to our attention.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they didn't mention Apple and iOS 14.5, which is coming up, and all the hubbub and...
well, we think. We don't know if they're ever going to release it. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Beta 8.
But I'm sure UID2 is... It's just advertisers trying to get around... measures like 14.5 and track you anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's all.
It sounds like this will be probably successful at that.
Yeah, and again, not great. Speaking of not great, this one is actually good news to Kelly, because I feel like this solidifies a theory that I had about Clubhouse, and you have some new information about Clubhouse.
Right. So I've been seeing this for a little bit now, where some people are concerned about the privacy of the Clubhouse app. Mm-hmm. The company says, specifically in regards to the app accessing your contacts. Well, what are they going to do with that information after you start using the service? Now, it sounds like they didn't have a data breach, but on last Saturday, it seems that a database was found containing the data of 1.3 million Clubhouse users, and this was posted on a unknown hacker forum. This data included names, user IDs, social media profile names, and other types of information. Now, I mentioned there wasn't a data breach, but in this case, it didn't really matter, because they mention anyone who can access this Clubhouse API is able to download and scrape all the profile information of these users.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that this is good news for me is because the theory I had was, like, a day or two after getting set up on Clubhouse, I started getting, like, you've won a Walmart gift card texts, and like, your Amazon package is delayed, tap here and give us all your information. Clubhouse is a service that requires your phone number, and I haven't given my phone number to anybody else lately, because I haven't really talked to anybody else that wanted my phone number lately, to be honest. And so all of a sudden I started getting a bunch of weird text spam, and so that's the theory that I had, was like, the last time I gave anybody my phone number, it was Clubhouse. I wonder if it's Clubhouse. And it turns out it was probably Clubhouse. So great. I got all excited about it and joined up, and, you know, yeah, it was to my peril.
Yeah. I have seen people say, you know, who cares? It's just public data. But as I wanted to point out, and I did that in my link teaser of this, but any data, whether it's public or private, is bad when it is combined in aggregate like this, right? Mm-hmm. Like if it's good enough for the advertisers to collect every little thing they can about you, it's also good for, you know, hackers and spammers. Yeah. And
it's another vector.
It's just another vector. It can be combined with all the other information mm-hmm. from data breaches. So
yeah,
it's still not good.
Yeah. And especially cause like, I don't have a fairly common name. So, you know, if you're looking for me in one of those, like if you're lining people up by name, you know, you're probably going to have a lot of John Smiths that have all different email addresses and all different phone numbers. And there's not gonna be a lot of Kelly Gamonts who have all different email addresses and phone numbers. So that's part of why this is a concerning thing, that their API is like, yeah, come have all this information. So not fun.
Yeah.
But a thing that is fun, that one's not fun, but a thing that is fun is that Reddit has now announced a bug bounty program.
Yeah. So I guess they had posted it on Reddit, I don't know, sometime this week. And they do mention that for the past 3 years, they have been doing this a private bug bounty program for cybersecurity researchers using this platform called HackerOne.
Okay.
But, okay, so they announced it on Thursday. They announced this... It's the same bug bounty program. It's just now public. So okay. It's a lot easier for people to, you know, find bugs in Reddit. And then, well, it's now easier to report these bugs to Reddit.
Okay. That's good, though.
Uh-huh.
And as always, because it is a bounty program, it means there's money involved. So if you do find something and you do submit it and it's found to be a legitimate bug and it's not, you know, somebody trying to game a system, obviously. If they find that's a legitimate security hole, then there's some sort of payout involved in that. And it may be nominal. It may be a lot of money. Depending on the payout on the bounty program, there are a lot of different bounty programs out there, and they pay in various levels of compensation, depending what you've discovered. So it can be all kinds of things. But I'm glad to see Reddit doing this, because Reddit is sort of a web platform for sharing information. So it's interesting to me that there are a lot of ways their security could be exploited. So I'm interested to see what they get reported. Because like web protocols are one of the ones that are the most open, so that everybody can go load a web page. And that's what a lot of people do to read Reddit, is just go load a web page. So I think their security model must be really interesting. I don't know very much at all about like the nuts and bolts of some of the security stuff. So I'm curious to see what comes out of this for them.
Yeah.
And today in our practical tip, we have a title after my own heart, and that is The Hitchhiker's Guide to Online Anonymity.
Yes. I haven't read it yet. It is a very long guide. So this is going to be some weekend reading, probably. Mm-hmm. Its creator says that you don't necessarily have to read it from cover to cover if you don't want. You can just, you know, hit Command F and search for things that interest you, or, you know, just look in the table of contents. Mm-hmm. But so this person says, this guide is an open source nonprofit guide on how to be anonymous online. It covers multiple platforms like Windows, Linux, macOS, Unix, Tails, Cubes, and a whole lot more. So he announced an update to this guide. So it's at version 9 now.
Okay.
And he says this version adds bug fixes, a lot more topics to read about, and it also has its own Tor mirror. So you can now download it via an Onion link if you want.
Oh, okay.
And there's an online version. There's a PDF guide. And there are like different versions. Like it sounds like there's a dark mode PDF and a light mode. Mm. And I'm sure that applies to the online guide too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested, check it out.
Yeah. And I like the idea that like this isn't a thing you have to sit down and read front to back. Like browse through the contents and go look at the things that are interesting or relevant to you. That I feel like that's pretty helpful. So the Hitchhiker's Guide to Online Anonymity, and the thing that I like about it is that he says up front it will never be done. It's always going to change and evolve. So that's a thing to sort of remember. There's been a big update to 9.0. And like you said, there's a load of different options available. So there's PDFs, there's an online version, there's a mirror, like you said, a Tor mirror you can download. And I think he's got it set up as a GitHub repository as well, where you can submit other, you know, make a pull request and submit some stuff if there's something in there that you think isn't what it could be. And I think it's great. And I also haven't read it. I did click around in it a little bit, and a lot of it feels pretty straightforward, which I like. It's sort of meant for everybody. Right. It's not meant to be, deep security nerd stuff. It's sort of meant for like anyone who would like a little more anonymity online to be able to take some of these practical things and apply them to what you're doing, which of course is very popular here on Security Friday. That's the thing we like to do too. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So he did post this to Reddit, and I'm reading it right now, and it says there is over 180 pages of this type of information. Yeah. So it's great, very exhaustive.
Yeah. And I appreciate that somebody's putting this together, because this is the kind of thing that you sort of keep in your bag of tricks. Like, everybody has that like bookmarks folder of like, these are things that are good to refer to. And this is definitely one of those. It's very nice for how to be anonymous. Nonprofit, like, he's not making any money on it. He has no dog in this fight, so to speak. So it's just, here's some good resources and some ways to sort of know things and add a little bit of anonymity to what you want. You can take any of these, obviously, as far as you want to. So having that information is one of those things that we like to give you here. You know, here are some tools that you can use as you make your own decisions about things like giving Clubhouse your phone number, apparently, which maybe I shouldn't have done. Like, the spam has trailed off a little bit, but maybe it's a thing I shouldn't have done. That's going to do it for us today. If you have questions or feedback, if there are things that you would like for us to talk to you more about, we would love to feature those here on the show. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.